Joining us from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Morning, Andrew.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Well, up she goes. Let's start with what must feel like a bit of a novelty for some people, and an increase to the OCR.
Yeah, I reckon. So, yeah, the official cash rate, the call has come and gone, and as expected, the official cash rate's now at 0.5%. Yeah, which is a rise of 0.25% from the previous level. Yeah, interestingly, Mike, we have people in our office for whom yesterday was a new workplace experience. It's the first time they've actually seen the official cash rate go up, because it hasn't gone up since 2014. Mm. So we've had 7 years of stable or falling cash rates. So that's the beginning of the end of the emergency COVID setting. So I suppose we ask, why has it moved? Well, from the Reserve Bank's point of view, they say it's appropriate at this time to reduce monetary policy stimulus so as to maintain low inflation and maximum sustainable employment. What's different this time is the bank's worried about inflation going up, and that's not been an issue for years, and employment is now arguably at maximum sustainable levels, and it is robust. You know, we've got very strong employment out there at the moment, but there's also the issue of financial stability. That's where the strong house price growth factor comes in, and more generally, in the Reserve Bank's words, cost pressures are becoming consistent. But I do hear the chorus of voices out there, Mike. What about COVID? What about lockdown? Well, the bank acknowledged that the economy is expected to have contracted sharply as a result of COVID-related restrictions, but that's offset. And it's offset by things like household and business balance sheet strength, which is good, ongoing fiscal support from the government, and our strong terms of trade at the moment. But I suppose, Mike, we ask the question, have they got this right? Well, they've allowed for some conditionality around how the current outbreak unfolds. And look, we're seeing the geographical footprint of the restrictions are expanding. My personal view is that although we don't want it to happen, you'd have to think we'll be lucky if COVID doesn't spread north as well. So there's some risk that the economic impact grows in the short term. On balance, though, Mike, I think the starting point on a path to a more normal monetary policy position needed to happen. You know, I worry about the current inflationary pressures, that they may be worse than anticipated. And you also have to acknowledge that cheap money is one. It's not the only one, but it's one of the contributors to the recent very strong house price growth. But I think the Reserve Bank will need to be nimble. If the COVID impact is greater than we expect it to be at the moment, then that transition to a more normal level, you know, may have to be done more gradually. But look, the market sort of took it in their stride yesterday. There wasn't a lot of movement in wholesale rates. We've seen some retail rates move, but this move was well forecast, was well signposted.
Absolutely. Obviously, a lot of people, including myself, obsess over the price of Brent crude every day when we listen to you, Andrew. Yeah. But natural gas, man alive, that is the price of that going through the roof is causing huge problems, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this could become quite problematic. So, yeah, we highlight Brent crude every day. But at the same time, prices of natural gas in some places around the world are going absolutely ballistic, sort of parabolic is what we say. So in Europe, the price rises are the worst. And the price there, it's up almost five times what it was. And if you're looking for relativity on this, the current price, if you were to try and compare it to the price of a barrel of oil, it's trading at about an equivalent of $200 a barrel of oil. So what's happening? Well, before this price surge, gas was in pretty short supply over a prolonged period. They had a very prolonged winter in the Northern Hemisphere. That ran down reserves. There's been import disruptions from Russia and Norway. The alternatives, well, coal, that price has gone up sharply too. The cost of carbon credits, that's also jumped. Of course, when something like this goes up, Mike, there are winners and losers. The winners are those selling it. Norway stands to make an absolute bonanza. Russia is a big exporter. Australia exports natural gas. But then you've got places like Japan, Korea, Taiwan, and Europe that are really going to hurt. So what it's doing, though, is it's potentially exacerbating supply chain issues because some manufacturing processes use this. I see overnight natural gas futures jump to their highest settlement price in 12 years in New York. So we will watch that one closely.
We'll blitz through some numbers, Andrew.
Yeah, 34049 on the Dow Jones. They're down 266 points at the moment, 0.78%. The S&P 500, 4310, down 0.84%. And the NASDAQ, 14,362, down about 0.5%. FTSE 100 overnight, 6995, down 81. The Nikkei yesterday down 293, 1%, 27528. Shanghai Composite still unchanged, still no trading. In Australasia, 7206 on the ASX 200, down 42. 0.58%, and we lost 0.25% here on the local market yesterday, 34 points. The NZX 50 closing at 13,166. Kiwi dollar spiked up yesterday, then came straight back down again. It's now at 0.69 against the US, 0.9519 Aussie, 0.5978 euro, 0.5090 pounds, 76.87 yen. Gold, $1,762. Brent crude off a little bit, $80.84.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Andrew Kelleher from jmiwealth.co.nz.